Falrig and Ruddle leaned on each other for support, helpless with mirth.
Poor old Porty had bolted one down before we could stop him.
Should have seen his face.
Colonel Sandgold twitched his eye, making the monocle wiggle.
Very droll, I'm sure. But if I were you chaps, I'd scoot fast or hide. I can hear young Porty coming, and he don't sound greatly pleased or amused by your jape.
I'll rock cream the bounders. Where are the flipping plank-tail villains? I'll skin him alive.
Falrig and Ruddle shot around Sunflash, attempting to hide themselves behind the badger's broad back. Porty came thundering in, cream all around his mouth and a knot of rock cream cake in each paw, his face a picture of comic indignation.
Come out, you rotten otters,
he yelled. A loud giggle from behind Sunflash gave them both away. The outraged hare saw that the badger lord suddenly appeared to have 6-foot paws. Porty raised the rock creams to throw. Sunflash saw what was about to happen and dropped flat to the chamber floor, leaving Falrig and Ruddle exposed to Porty's vengeance. It was not a lucky day for the wraith. The mottled weasel sprang upright in the window space, wielding his deadly stone knife, triumph shining in his pale eyes. At that exact moment, Porty flung the cream-covered rocks, and the otters ducked with lightning speed. Splack! Both missiles scored a direct hit on the wraith's face. Instinctively, the weasel's paws flew up to his mouth, and he plunged silently backward into space, the dagger sticking in his jaw. The last sound the wraith made was when his falling body thudded against the rocks far below. Draped limply across the rain-soaked stone with both eyes closed, the carcass of what had once been the weasel wraith was almost invisible. Sabretash fixed Porty and the two otters with the haughty glare of an outraged officer.
I'm going to count to three now, and if you chaps haven't found someplace else to play your silly tricks by then, you'll all be on a fizzer. Double guard duty for 3 nights. Understood?
3 hasty salutes, a patter of foot paws, and the slamming of the door announced tranquility had returned to the bedchamber. Colonel Sandgold polished furiously at his monocle.
Must be something wrong with this belly contrivance. Well, you know, I thought I saw some type of vermin standing on that window ledge not a moment ago. Confounded strange. Hey, what?
Sunflash coughed politely, catching a nod from Sabretash.
Did you really, Colonel? I'm sure I saw something there too. Must have been a trick of the light, reflection off the sea or something. What do you think, Tash?
The hare leaned out over the windowsill.
Oh, indeed, sir. Stranger things have been seen around this mountain more times than enough, what? I say, the jollier rain's starting to pack in. See, there's the sun coming out.
Steam rose in wisps from the sand as the midday sun rose high to warm the earth. Swart Sixclaw stood wrapping his gauntleted paw against his sword hilt.
We should have heard something by now. Surely if this wraith beast is as good as he's supposed to be, the badger must be dead.
Nightshade moved artfully out of paw range.
We'll just have to wait and see, Lord.
Swart turned on her, snarling as his temper rose.
Let me hear you say that just once more, vixen, and you'll be wearing your tail round your neck for a scarf.
He transferred his attention to the horde beasts, who were leaping about in the shallows, trying to catch mackerel from a shoal that had ventured in too close.
Will you look at that slab-sided lot of bumpkins? They make better fishes than fighters. See that the best of their catch is sent up to my fire. Where in the name of tripes and tendons has that wraith got to?
This ends Disc 8.